Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
And to you. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, your voice is heard in so many ways. Whether it's a whisper or in a loud sound, Lord, people that we meet on the street, Lord, sometimes you speak to us through them, Lord. And so, Lord, I ask that you would open the ears of our heart, open the eyes of our heart to see what you're doing each day, every moment of our time. Thank you, Lord, that you do want to talk to us. And Lord, we just bless what you're doing. We invite your Holy Spirit this morning to just come, Lord, and have your way with this group of people that love you, Lord. That you meet us where we are, Lord, but you never want to just leave us there. You want to take us to places that we've never experienced. And we ask for that this morning, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. And Lord, we just want that the worship music that comes forth, the word that comes forth this morning, Lord, that it would reach your heart, Lord. Praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's worship.
So have you ever looked around and you've got the Hallmark movies on, you've got all the lights, you have all the shopping, everything's all decorated, everything's all Christmassy and beautiful, but sometimes you just don't feel that. Sometimes there's tough stuff going on. Sometimes there's people that have passed before us. Sometimes there's illnesses. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough to feel what you see around you. But think of the first Christmas. Think of the first Christmas. So the angel comes to Zechariah and says, you're going to have a son. And so Zechariah, like, he's older. You know, he and his wife are older. And he says, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. So first of all, the angel has to say, fear not. The angels have to say, fear not. Because in between the old and new, there was like 400 years where nobody heard from God. Nobody heard. Do you ever feel like you're in a place where I don't hear, Lord? What do you want me to do? What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I listen to? Where do I go? So Zechariah couldn't even speak for those 9 months, okay, while Elizabeth was going to have a child. So then an angel comes to Mary. And so Mary's young, very, very young. Right? I mean, we're talking teens. You're going to have a child. And she said yes. She said yes. Now, where are we? Doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. Will we say yes? Will we say yes? So Mary said yes, okay? So then, wait a minute. What's the world going to think? Okay? Because she's supposed to be betrothed to Joseph. So now we got to deal with the world. What's the world going to say? But Joseph was good. Joseph was good, and he wanted to obey the law. And so he was going to just, like, write her a divorce and, like, put her away. But an angel comes to him, another angel. I mean, we've had angels now, and of course he has to say, be not afraid, you know. So then Joseph says yes. Joseph says yes, and he's going to protect Mary now, okay? So now you have the census. So now they have to travel. Can you imagine 9 months pregnant on a donkey going to like 70 miles away to Bethlehem, you know, and you have to be there for a census, okay? There's no room at the inn. Everybody's there. Everybody is there. And so here she is in this manger, not clean, not a comfort inn, not a hospital, none of this stuff. She's going to deliver in a stable. And what have they got with us? They're on a donkey, you know? I mean, she's got strips of cloth. They have just what's with them. They've come into this world with nothing. They go out of this world with nothing, you know? But they said yes. And God's with them, okay? So then fast forward, okay? the wise men see this star and they want to come worship. Everybody's starting to like realize that something's happening because angels go to these shepherds, right? Way out there in the fields. And so they're the first ones to know, the lowliest. Not like the world would see it, okay? They're the guys out there with the sheep. No showers, you know? It's not pretty, you know? But that's what life is, you know? It's not all wrapped up in a pretty little package. And so the shepherds come to see, and then the wise men come, but they go to Herod. Now, how evil is Herod, okay? Didn't he, like, get rid of his own grandchildren because he didn't want to lose the throne? Right? Oh, come back and tell me where he is so I can worship him. So the wise men take a different trip, right? They don't go back to Herod. So then Joseph, in a dream, take her to Egypt. All this so it can be fulfilled, right? Because God is with us. But sometimes it's messy, and sometimes we don't always hear. But he's still with us. He's still working when we don't see him, okay? When we don't feel it, when we have loss, when we have pain, when we have suffering, okay? He still loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son for us.
Over this last week, Connie sent me a video. Bear with me, my voice is just the way it is these days. Connie sent me a video, not a video, a recording of a testimony I gave over the summer. And the testimony I gave over the summer was about 100% being surrendered to God and God's will be done. And I listened to that twice. Each time I just wept. And I wept because the thing that was amazing about that, her sending me that, is I had just said that week or a couple of days that I was still, yes, I'm still, God, in a place of your will be done. Yes, God, I'm still in a place of I'm surrendered and I'm still there. I'm still in that place, even though it's months later. So that's what made it me cry so much, because I was like, wow, thank you, God. I'm still in that place. Because what the awesome thing about that is that we have answers to what's my voice and a lot of different things. But the thing that's so awesome about that is I'm still surrendered. Whatever God wants, whatever he wants for me, I'm ready. I'm ready, and I'm just more than ready. I'm so ready. So that's all. That's what how I'm going to leave it. So there you go. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, come unto me. Is that what he said? Come unto me, he said. Hallelujah. We sang a song earlier, come unto me. Is that right? Come unto me. Seek first the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
And all, everything will be added to you. Why would we sing it to you over and over again? Because it's real and it's truth. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Oh, seek first his kingdom and everything will be added to you.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? Come on, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How's the Christmas shopping going this morning? Anybody? Anybody? Is everybody done? I'm glad I'm done. Are you saying amen? Because I never do it anyway. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Amen. Thank you for getting up. It's been some nice days for December, hasn't it? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. I'll tell you what. I'm I'm going to tell you, well, how many of you see on your bulletin the name of the sermon this morning? Excuses. How many ever heard an excuse?
Yes.
Anybody? Has anybody given you an excuse? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. This is not a real Christmassy message this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Excuses. You know, sometimes I go, God, why don't you give me a Christmas message? He says, I'm giving you one. I said, oh, okay. Excuses. Excuses. What's your excuse, Hank? I don't know, Lord. It's a good day when we will recognize that we make excuses. Is that right? How many say amen to that?
Amen.
How many know that we make more excuses than we should?
Yeah.
We've got an excuse for everything, right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit about excuses and what Jesus, what he says about an excuse, about coming to him and seeking him and the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So I'm going to start you off in the book of Numbers, if you will. So if you will, turn to Numbers chapter 13, chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well. Praise God. Numbers 13, starting with verse 1 and 2. Well, if I was, I'd be pretty good if I'd get to Numbers. I'm in Deuteronomy. It would have been a whole different story. 13, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I will give to the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. God told Moses, he says, send these people to go look at the land that I'm going to give you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God says, I'm going to give it to you. Is it okay that God, is it nice that God tells us he's going to give us something?
Yeah.
And he tells us, hey, I'm going to give this thing to you. So Moses gathers his guys and he tells them to go and tells them to go into the land and check it out. Okay, so I'm going to go to Numbers 13, verses 21 to 33 to make it short so that I don't have to read the whole chapter. Is that okay? How many are good with that? Don't read the whole chapter, Pastor. Come on, man. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, as men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff. That's a pretty good sized cluster of grapes, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I mean, that's, man, whatever's produced, wherever that's being produced is a good spot. And they bear between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates. Somebody like pomegranates? Anybody like pomegranates? I love pomegranates. And of the figs, and the place was called the Brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word to them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Yes. Figs, pomegranates, grapes. Anybody like grapes?
Yeah.
Grapes. There's something about grapes. I don't know. I like them nice cold. Yet not frozen. My wife used to freeze them every once in a while. She goes, they're like popsicles. No, they're not. No, I like them cold, but I like grapes. He showed them the fruit of the land, and they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Do you guys remember Jericho?
Yeah.
This is one of them cities they looked at. Pretty high walls and great walls. But how many of you know they've got a great king? Is that right? We serve a great God that just wiped out the whole Roman army. Can you say amen to that? No, I'm sorry. Was it the Egyptian army? Just wiped out the whole Egyptian army. And so now, oh yeah, but yeah, the people are big. Nevertheless, the people are be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Hedekites. In the mountains of the Canaanites that dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Now, here we go. We got somebody that believes God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's go right now. Come on, man. Let's go. Grab your stuff. Let's do it. He says, hey, let us go up at once. And possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we may be not able to go up against the people. Come on, man. Everybody say, come on, man. Come on, man. For they are stronger than we. Come on, man. Amen. Jeez. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. Oh boy. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. Can I tell you, excuse after excuse. Is that what they're giving them? They are giving Moses and the people excuses. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Uh-oh. Everybody go, uh-oh. The giants. The giants. They're just tall.
Yeah, they're just tall.
They are the NBA of their time.
Yeah.
The basketball team. That's all he is.
Yeah.
We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as what?
Grasshopper.
Grasshoppers. Come on, man. Are these guys being dramatic or what? And we're like grasshoppers to them. How about ants or a fly? No, but we're like grasshoppers, man. So were we in their sight. In our own sight, we were like grasshoppers, and they thought the same thing. How do they know? I don't even think they talked to them. Complaint after complaint, or would you say excuse after excuse after excuse? Excuse not to go up. Can you say amen? You know what? When they were going up, God did all the fighting for them anyway. Can you say amen to that? So what are you worried about? I like what Caleb said. I like what he said. Let's go to the next chapter. Verse 4, chapter 14, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Wow. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Boo-hoo-hoo. Here we go. Boo-hoo. 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 Come on, man. You know, I don't know. But maybe I should think about, man, if I was out in that desert, trying to find food, trying to find water. Maybe I might be one of those saying, man, we got to go back to Egypt because we were treated better there. We ate better there. I don't know. But I look back and I said, man, come on, man. You saw what God did. Isn't that right, John? Have we seen what God can do, John? I mean, how many of you have seen what God can do? If you've seen what God can do, man, say, yes, thank you, Lord. Tell him thank you. I've seen what he can do. He can do far more and abundantly above anything that I can even imagine.
Amen.
Amen.
He's a good God.
Amen.
Yes.
And why he loves me, I still don't get it. John goes, boy, you're right, bro. And And wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun. Here's the other guy, right? Yep. Good man. Joshua, the son of Nun, and yep. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes, rent their clothes, and they spoke to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, when God wants to give you something, it's not junk. He's going to give you something good. It's always, that's the way he is. He wants to give you good things. He's a good God that gives good things to his people. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's an exceeding good land. If the Lord has a delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Yeah. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the Lord of the land. Neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are what?
Bread
for us. What? What does he mean? They're bread for us. Yeah. Can I tell you, Joshua had in his mindset, I'm going to put those folks that are there, I'm going to put them to work. They're going to plow our fields. They're going to clean our horses' hooves, or I guess our donkey's hooves, whatever. Joshua, I believe, had a plan for those people already. I think God might have given him a plan. Because later on, we're going to find that Joshua and Caleb were the only two that went in out of the whole bunch. Is that right?
Right.
Yep. He says, they are bread for us.
Yeah.
Their defense is departed from them. Can you see what he's telling them?
Wow.
Their defense is departed, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Come on. Everybody say, come on, man.
Oh, man.
We can't go in. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Can you imagine? Oh, man. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, hey, how long will this people provoke me?
That's right.
Wow. How long is it going to be? And how long will it be before they believe me? Isn't that something?
Yes.
All you, God's saying, just believe me.
Yes.
Just believe me. I've given you the land. Just believe it. Caleb and Joshua, the only two.
Wow.
And how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We'll stop right there. See, these people had excuses why they didn't want to go in. And God was trying to get them in. God was desiring to move them out of the wilderness and into the promised land. They call it the promised land because it was promised to them. It was, I'm going to give it to you. But because they rebelled, and the Lord spoke something to Moses and Aaron and said, man, from that, just for this, because of what they've done, you're going to travel in the wilderness another 40 years. A year for every day that you went out to look at the land. And he says, and all the people except Joshua and Caleb, they're going to die in the wilderness. And their children, the ones they were afraid that the wilderness were going to eat them alive, was going to eat them up, they're going to be the ones. Their children will be the ones to go into the land. You don't mess with God. Can you say amen to that?
Yes, amen.
You know, folks, you know, yes, he's a loving God. Yes, he's got a lot of grace. Yes, he cares about you, but don't mess with him.
That's right.
Don't mess with him. Because he's the same God, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes.
That's it.
He does not like, he does not enjoy. When we make excuses. Come on, man. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Hey, I want to show you. I want you. I want you to look at something. I want you to hear a song. Terry, can we play a song? You guys want to hear a song?
Yeah.
You want me to sing it for you?
Sure.
Yeah. Pastor John said no. He's yeah. So listen to the words. Follow along. Listen to these words, man. You're gonna enjoy that. You're gonna enjoy this song. From church, he offers them excuses. Excuses, you hear them every day. Devil always loses. He offers them excuses. What? Yeah.
Well, the sermon's there too long. Maybe they're too short. You ought to preach the word now. Instead of something slow. That dream we got must be.
The world must be.
One of the things on this side.
Yeah. Straight away. To know the Lord, he offers them excuses. To give them excuses. Keep going from church, he offers them excuses. Amen. Amen. What do you guys think about that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I'm going to tell you, our pastor played that song for us one time, and they got a bunch of people upset. Yeah. So I hope that didn't upset anybody.
No.
I hope you're all right with that.
Yeah.
If you did upset you, man, then amen. Well, let's have a talk. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. But you know, let me just say, see, the Lord just wants us to believe him.
Yes.
Amen.
Just believe me.
Yes.
That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. Believe me. Look, I sent my son to die for your sins so that you could live before me. You can stand before me, before my throne, and talk to me face to face. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And see, that's, I mean, he said, just believe me. I've done everything to be done.
Yes.
Just believe me. Can I tell you, he's already plotted your life. Yes. He's already leading you in a place where he wants you to go. He's going to take you if you'll believe him for it. Is that right? Come on. I want to talk a little bit how Jesus talked a little bit about I guess, I mean, if you want just excuses for something that he desires in our life. How many know that God desires us to know his word? How many of you know how important this is to you? Do you really know how important the Word of God is for you? Do you know that the Bible says that, you know, it says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Aren't you glad that God had it recorded for us? Can you say amen? I mean, hey, it was his plan. I know that it was his plan to gather some guys together and begin writing and translating the word of God so that the whole world could understand it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God, because God loves people.
Yes.
And there's a lot of dialects, there's a lot of languages out there that God is desiring to touch. But sometimes even the words aren't enough. Sometimes just the presence of God will get a hold of somebody. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God's presence. You walk into the church, and man, all of a sudden you're feeling, whoa, what is this feeling I got in here, man? I feel a little different here. There's something going on in this place, man. Some people get scared at that.
Yes.
Other people realize that it's God touching your heart, speaking to you, trying to get your attention. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He's alive. Everybody, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And he speaks to his people. He says, you know, my children, they know my voice. My sheep know my voice. He speaks and he speaks. Sometimes he speaks very loud. Sometimes he's very quiet. But he wants us to know his word. He wants us to read and to look at this thing and allow him to speak to us through it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Anyway, praise God. So I want to take you into Luke chapter 14. Starting at verse 15 through 24, but before, Terry, can you put up that Greek word for excuse? This is the Greek word. I put it down this way. This is not how it's spelled. You can spell it if you want. This is how it's pronounced. Because I go, man, I'll put it up the way it's spelled. I should have probably put it up the way it was spelled. And then also, but it's par aheo the om meahi.
Wow. Yeah.
Say that 20 times real quick. Par aheo the om meahi. Anyway, the word is excuse. The Greek word is excuse, and it translates to these words. It says to decline, to shun, to avoid, to excuse. That's what we're excuse, refuse, and reject. Okay, these are the words that this word is. And so I want to go in Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 15, I'm going to read this. And I like the way this thing starts. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, and he said to him, this guy was excited. I'm going to say this man was listening to Jesus, and he's starting to get excited. Oh, boy. And he goes, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
He's fired up, man. That's how I see it. When he gets a little excited, and he says, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus Jesus kind of plays right off of it. And he goes, then he said to him, a certain man made a great supper. And he bade many. I just want to say this certain man is the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And he makes a great supper. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God is a good cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many like good cooks?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man. God's a good cook. He made a great supper and bade many. I'm going to give you this word bade. It is, the Greek word is kaleo. Everybody say kaleo. It's a lot easier to say than the other one, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
And this word is also bade and bidden. That word kaleo means to call or called. Call is the bade, and called is bidden.
Oh.
Same word though, kaleo.
Okay.
So we go back to the text. Then said he to him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, called many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to do what?
Make excuse.
The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. You want to go see his land. Huh? I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. She won't let me. I better shut up right here. Have me excused. Therefore, I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things and said, then the master of the house, being what?
Angry.
Can I tell you that God does not like excuses? Being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring here the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as you have commanded, and yet there's still room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Yes. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You see, I just want to say this to you, that God has created a great table for you. And he wants you to eat at the table. And I will say that, you know, hey, we are a fast-paced bunch. Can you say amen to that? In today's world, we're fast-paced. We run from this to that, from there to here and back again. And the Word of God talks about how in the old, Daniel sees it happening, that the world will be increased with knowledge and men will be running to and fro across the earth. But what God is trying to do is get you into your closet, wherever it is, because he wants you one-on-one. Can you say amen to that? Seek first the kingdom of God, one-on-one with God. Some people, some Christians think that just because they go to church, that's enough. That's not enough. I asked somebody, do you pray? This is probably where I come out, where this sermon came out. I talked to a couple of people in the real close past, and I asked them if they read the Word of God, and then they said, well, no. How long have you been saved? About 15 years. Do you read the Bible? Once in a while. Once in a while. Bro, you're talking to a pastor. If you don't know who I am, you better just lie to me. You know what I mean? Because, man, I'm going to come on you, man. You need the Word of God.
Amen.
You have to be reading the Word of God. You need it.
Yes.
You might not think you do. You might think, well, it's a boring book. So what? Read it anyway.
Right.
You will find something in there that will begin to grab a hold of your heart, and you'll begin to look and say, oh my God, I didn't know this. I didn't see this before.
Right.
It's important that you understand. Yeah, I mean, hey, seek first the kingdom of God. And I believe he's talking about you on him on you. Right there. You seek him and you find out what he has for you. Then all the other stuff, go, you know, but seek him first.
Amen.
Come unto me is what Jesus said. Go to him, take your Bible with you and talk to him. Read the word before him, read it to him. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Amen. He likes to hear his word. But folks, we cannot be so busy that we don't take the time to go eat at his table.
Amen.
It's a wonderful table. It's got some great stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what you'll find at his table. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
It's a great supper. He's a great king. He's a great, you know, there is another parable that he talks about is almost just like this, except that he calls it a wedding feast. Here he's just calling it a great supper. But in another place, you'll find that he calls it a wedding feast. Do you know what a wedding does? What does it do? What does marriage do?
Unify.
It brings two together.
And
it makes one out of two. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
That's why Paul and the apostle and then God in Genesis said, Well, when Adam saw Eve, the fox, he looks and goes, whoa. He goes, oh, man. He goes, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He's all fired up. And then he says, for this cause shall man leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and they too will be one flesh. Yeah. Where did he get all that from? He didn't have a mom. He didn't have a mom. Where'd he get it from? It was within him. It was the Lord he was prophesying. They will be one flesh. Paul the Apostle talks about marriage and later on and them being coming one flesh. And then now God is saying, he says, I've made a, what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. A lot of people think that's happening in heaven when we all get there. It's happening right now.
Amen.
It's today. Amen. The kingdom of God is now. Faith is now. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. Faith is now, right now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you don't, think about it, because God, I will say, God is saying, look, you're looking for an event or something that can happen in the future, and that's not what I'm, that's not where I'm at. I am now in your life, right now. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah.
Yes.
The kingdom, and he prepares a place for you. The marriage supper of the Lamb is for you to go and sit down at the table. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Check out this scripture. Luke chapter 22, verses 25 through 30. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And they had just said, hey, who's going to be the top dog when they want to be first? Is that right? They want to be the top guy. We live in a world that everybody wants to be the top guy. Is that right?
Yeah.
But the kingdom of God doesn't operate that way. And Jesus is about to show them and tell them. And it takes a keen ear for you to listen and hear what he's saying.
Right.
It takes the revelation of the Holy Ghost to understand what he's about to say here. So it's pretty cool. So check it out. He says, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Is that right? That's right. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Is that right? Why are they called benefactors? Because they benefit of being the Lord over y'all. Is that right? It's a benefit. Is that right? Taxes. Is that right? How many of you pay taxes? You better, everybody better raise their hand in here. Yeah, you better pay taxes. Yeah. They become benefactors because of their lordship, because they're ruling over them. Right? But you shall not. This is one of those things where God is saying, don't do it. But you shall not be so. Don't be like that. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Amen?
Amen.
He that is chief as he that does what? Serve.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
How many like doing service? Yeah, serving one another. Can you say amen to that? That's what, yeah, there's only a few hands there, man. Get used to it. God's going to have you doing serving. Hey, yeah. All right. And then Jesus asks a question. He says, for whether is better? Which is better? He that sits at meat or he that serves? In the world, it's him that sits to get served in the world.
That's right.
He says, is not he that sits at meat? See, Jesus is, he knows how we think. He says, yeah, it's in the world, it's the one that's being served is the greater. But he says this, but I am among you as he that serves.
Amen.
Come on, man.
Amen.
Come on, man.
Amen.
I am he among you that serves. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. He's telling the disciples that you've been with me.
Right.
He said, he's basically telling them, you want to be top dog? Serve.
That's right.
Amen.
Serve your brothers.
Yep.
Serve your sisters.
You.
Serve them. Be kind to them.
Yes.
Enjoy who they are.
Yep.
Because they're mine. That's what God might be saying.
Yes.
Serve them. You are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Then he says this. This is the best part. Man, you're going to love this part. Well, I loved it. I got all fired up. But anyway, he says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. Is that cool? Are we in that kingdom?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen. Are you in that kingdom?
Yes.
Yeah, you're in that kingdom. As my Father has appointed me unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Folks, I'm telling you, this is right now. It's not when we get to heaven and we're all glad to see each other and we sit around and have a bunch of tacos. No, it's right now. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What does judging people have to do with eating at a table? It's because of what you eat at his table. It's going to give you wisdom and understanding on how to deal with people and how to answer them. God wants to put a word in your mouth so you can speak a word to somebody in due season when they need it. And God is desiring you to go to a table. And I will tell you, start small. Commit your time to go to his table.
Amen.
Say, okay, God, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. God, give it to me in 2 minutes. But watch him touch you. You're going to say, oh, I'll stay 10.
Yeah.
And he touches you again. He says, man, I'll stay 20.
Yeah.
About 30. Before you know it, you're saying, man, God, where did the time go? I'm late for work. Come on, God. No, man. You know, I don't think God will let you get late. I think he'll remind you. But I will tell you that spending time at his table begins to taste better and better and better. Is that okay?
Amen.
He wants you at his table. Glory to God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Who is he that serves you at this table? You're going to find it is the Holy Spirit. How many know that you can't separate God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? You can't separate them. They are three in one. So it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that comes to serve you when you're at his table. Check this out. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say to you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. That's the Lord. The Lord comes to serve you when you're at his table. You know, what we eat at the table of the Lord? We eat the Word of God.
Wow.
How many know? We do a communion. And Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that communion we take is a symbol. It's a symbol of the Word of God. Of us taking the Word of God. That little bit of grape juice that we drink, we don't give you guys wine. You guys go crazy on us. Yeah. Yeah. It's that little tiny cup of wine, everybody's all over. No, just kidding. Shut up already. It's a good thing my wife's not here. She'd say, Henry. But that cup represents the blood of Christ. What flowed through his body. But more than the blood of Christ, it also represents the Spirit of the living God that also flowed through this man. Is that cool? All right. So we partake of the body and the blood of Christ. When we go to God's table, we're eating his food and his drink. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise God. So, the Word of God says this. Psalm 23, verse 5. How many of you know this scripture? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hey, when your enemies are after you, who's got time to eat? Is that right? Come on, man. This is the mindset that we have. I mean, that we, you know. Some people tell the Lord, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to read your word. I don't have time to come and sit at your table. But I would tell you, I would say as your pastor, you need to take time. I had a guy ask me, I asked the guy, do you read the word of God? He goes, well, bro, I listen to your sermons. Hey, that's not it. Yeah, listen to my sermons, but you need him,
yes.
Not my sermons. There's a lot of Christians out there that all they do is internet church. And that's not enough, folks. I will tell you, God is calling for more than that. He's saying one-on-one is what you need. Because I will tell you, there's going to be some people out there, unless you know what he's saying to you, you can get taken down the railroad going to H-E double hockey sticks if you're not sure.
Right.
You've got to know what God is saying to you personally. Don't blame. I believe that God has got me up here to tell you that, hey, you can't blame me. I'm giving you the word of God, but you can't use me as an excuse. You yourself, you have to go to the word of God.
Amen.
That's the way God's designed it. You need to trust, you need to try the spirits and see if they're of God. You know, one of the best ways to try the spirit, pull your Bible out and say, all right, this is what that one-eyed pastor said. And start looking, and then say, well, he said this, and he said that. And then you're going to either say, well, that guy's either a liar, or by golly, God is saying something here. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Check it. Don't take my word for it. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that felt good when I said that. It's almost like God takes this mantle off, this heavy thing off of me when I say something. Hey, you don't have to listen to me. It's good that you do, because I, as much as I can, folks, I'm going to try to give you the word of God as God gives it to me. That's all I can do. It's up to you to look at it and say, man, this could be what God's saying. Because I will tell you, I was taught a long time ago that we're going to have a great meal up in heaven when we get there. There's going to be salsa on the table. There's going to be tamales on the table. There's going to be T-bone steaks on the table. There's going to be, and I was taught a long time ago to look forward to that day. Hey, no, he's talking about right now. Look forward to his table right now. Go to him. Amen. Don't make any excuses. Hallelujah. Go to his table. Psalm 34, verse 8 says this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. You got to go to the table to get that taste. That taste. Look at your neighbor and say, that taste.
That taste.
That taste. Hallelujah. How many ever tasted something was spoiled? What did you do?
Spit it out.
Did you keep eating it?
No.
Did anybody keep eating that thing?
No.
You spit it out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Listen. There are some things out there in the world that sometimes we get into. We should be spitting it out of our mouths. Or spitting
right.
It should be. Say, that is not good. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, no. That's no good. That's no good. You got a friend that's eating bad stuff. It's not. But you know it's not good. Hey, ask the Lord for an opportunity to say something. Don't just say something. Ask the Lord for an opportunity, because God has you there for. Can I just say that to you? The reason God puts people around us so that when we see something that's incorrect, it's not that we're to go right now, bro, you're going to hell because of that. You know, you don't tell them that. You don't do that. You just say, Lord, what can I say? Lord, I see that it's not good for them. What can I say? And wait for him. Wait for him. Wait on him.
Yes.
And if you wait on him at his table, he's going to give you something. The reason he's got you here is so that you can give a word in due season to somebody that needs it. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
But you got to go to his table. Oh, taste and see that he's good. You'll find out he's good. Luke chapter 14, verse 24. Go back to this one. You see, God had called them, folks. And can I just say this? When you're called, see, if you're a Christian today, if you've given your life to Jesus, I will tell you right now, you're called.
Amen.
You are in a place where God says, man, you know what? I actually destroyed your old man, and I made you brand new. You're a new creature in me.
Yes.
And because of that, he says, you're not your own. Is that right?
That's it.
Is that what the Word of God tells you? You're not your own. You belong to me.
Yes.
So when I call, everybody say call.
Call.
Yeah, put your hand on your ear when you say, God, Lord, when you call, I am to answer.
Yep.
I should answer.
Yes.
Well, when pastor calls, you don't have to answer. Can you say amen to that? When pastor calls, some of you don't want to answer. Is that right? You can miss my call. It's okay. But when God calls, listen. Come on, man.
Listen.
Yeah, you listen, you pick up.
Amen. You don't belong to you. You don't belong to pastor. You belong to him.
Amen.
You belong to him.
That's it.
And he says, he's talking about those that were called or bidden to the meal. He says this, for I say to you that none of those men which were bidden, the ones that didn't go, that made excuses, they'll never taste of my supper. They'll never know just how good God is. Just how good he is. How good that food that you get off of his table could be to you. Galatians 5, verse 13. See, folks, because we as Christians, sometimes we think we can do whatever we want. We'll make an excuse for ourselves. Is that all right? Well, I don't have time to be on my knees. Yeah, you should make time. Well, I'm too busy. I've got 6 kids, and my husband is one of them. Yeah, well, no, well, you still need to make time for the Lord. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You need it even more. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, come on, man. Huh. For brethren, he says here, he says, you have been called, right, to liberty. Is that right?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that God has broken the chains of our lives and everything and brought us into liberty? He says, but don't use that liberty as an occasion for your flesh. You see that? Because we will use it. We'll do things that are contrary to what God would want us to do. Rather than seeking him first, we'll go do the other thing, and then another thing, and then another thing, and not seek him, and miss the meal he has for us at the table. He told that servant that go out and get them. Tell them that the food is now ready. It's never been like this before until Jesus came. Do you know that? Do you know that when he died on the cross and he rose from the dead? He rose up. The Bible says that he went up to the Father in heaven, took his blood, poured it on the ark of the testimony there in heaven, in the kingdom. Everything that was on earth was just a symbol of what was going on up there. He poured it out. And I like this part. You guys, not it doesn't say it in the word, but so you can say, well, don't say that. Well, yeah. But he took the key to the banquet hall, unlocked the door and swung them wide open. He says, anybody, whosoever will, can come in and eat at my table. I'll always be at my table to serve you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God loves you and he desires to serve you a great meal. Can you say amen if you will?
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you this question. What's your excuse? What excuse will you be giving God when he says, you heard, Henry. Yeah, I like that. You heard your pastor.
Yeah.
Whoever it is might be saying something like this. God wants you at his banquet table. Don't neglect it. You're going to get spiritually thin, spiritually weak. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah,
don't say amen. I don't want to be that way. Can you say amen? No. No, man. I'm going to eat. And I'm going to get fat on my
amen.
Father's food. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fat now. You're all looking at, yeah, you're fat. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I said, I'm going to get fat on my father's food.
Amen.
I'm going to get drunk on my father's drink. Can you say amen to that? They say it's the wine of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Sometimes it'll make you feel a little tantaranta. Is that right? Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Eat at his table.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Eat at his table. He hasn't invited you. He's called you.
Yes.
Come unto me. That's what he says. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for the word this morning, God. Father, I ask you, Lord, that God, anyone and everyone that goes to your table, let them know just how good your food is for them, Father. For my brothers and my sisters, Lord, I need them at your table. Lord, open it wide. Feed them well. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody jump a little bit. Can you say amen? Come on, man. Come on. Nobody's going to. All right. Hey, shake somebody's hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.